G'day Limestone Coasters, welcome to another catch-up. Here's what happened this morning on the Limestone Coast Triple M.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing
Ewan Grant for breakfast on Triple M.
A big good morning to you around the Limestone Coast. I've got to tell you, my cold is getting worse, which is a little sad. I'd like to have some good remedies to maybe get over a cold. So if you'd like to give me a call on 13 27 10, I would love to hear from you this morning. Or you could reach out to me on the Limestone Coast Triple M Facebook page as well. Feeling a little blocked up today. As we start the day, all eyes are on the summit that took place yesterday in Singapore. There was some good news to come out of it, at least hopefully on paper. But there's a lot of people, a lot of commentators, especially here in Australia, who are going, well, what does it actually really, really mean? The national news team will tell us all about it across today. Today, we are going to talk all about the greatest decade of all time. You guys have been having a fantastic time on the Limestone Coast Triple M Facebook page, talking all about your memories, not only from here in the Limestone Coast, but memories of music, of movies, of a time long ago. Now we are going to relive some of those across the morning.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
Just had a piece of was interesting flag up on my feeds this morning. The cost of fuel has apparently dropped by over 4% nationally since last week. Now, fuel prices here in the Limestone Coast, from what I understand, haven't. And, well, that's one of the drawbacks of living here in country South Australia and probably living in rural Australia anywhere across the country. Apparently, because a lot of people were on social media yesterday talking all about the exorbitant fuel prices that we are paying here as opposed to what you get to pay in the capital cities. Lots of people were saying that Nangwari has probably got the cheapest fuel across the Limestone Coast, which also makes you wonder why Nangwari has the cheapest fuel in, well, not in South Australia, but in the Limestone Coast, why they have the cheapest fuel in the Limestone Coast, considering it's Nangwari. You would think that Mount Gambier would have the cheapest fuel in the Limestone Coast, but apparently not. Apparently we are being, maybe overpriced. I would love to hear from you this morning. I'd like to know what you think. I'd like to know where you're getting your fuel, whether it's the cheapest price in the Limestone Coast. And if you do know what the cheapest price is, by all means, give the proprietors of the petrol station a bit of a plug. I'm more than happy to do that this morning. 13 27 10 is the number to call. You can also jump online to the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page and give us all the details there as well.
It's the Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
Well, I've got to send a shout out to Barry, who has just finished a very busy night on night shift. He's about to go home and go to bed. I'm a little jealous at that at the moment because, well, my cold has got the better of me. And while I was feeling absolutely sensational at about 3:30 this morning, my cold has taken hold with a vengeance once again. So a little groggy today, and I apologize for that. One of the truly quirky stories of the morning that I have read so far, by the way, and I wanted to share it. I'm not sure it's got any relevance whatsoever to anything, but it gave me a giggle. Apparently, nations that have a lot of sex win Nobel Prizes. It's a fact, and at least according to experts. And as always, I tend to wonder about experts and people that do research, because it makes you wonder how people get funding for research like that. And why someone would go, I wonder whether people who win Nobel Prizes have a lot more sex than other people. It's one of those bizarre things that I think about sometimes. On 963 Triple M, I'd love to hear from you to find out where the cheapest fuel is in the Limestone Coast. Fuel prices have dropped by about 4% nationally, but that hasn't transpired to the Limestone Coast. Apparently, lots of people on social media yesterday were whinging about how much we pay for fuel in the Limestone Coast, and it's over $1.50 a litre at the moment, apparently, and that's going to put a huge dent in your wallet if you're filling up the car each and every week. I'd love to hear from you. 13 27 10 is the number to call.
Ewan Grant
for breakfast. Triple M.
On your local 963 Triple M. Got to send a shout out to Kay. Kay and I were just talking. Kay does a lot of travelling between Panola and Millicent, and she is horrified at the price of fuel at the moment, and the amount that you pay at the Bowser at the moment. And she and I were being a little amazed that Nangwari can have the cheapest fuel in the Limestone Coast. And we were wondering who is making money out of the fuel prices, of course, and why there can't be a cheaper fuel source here in the Limestone Coast, or at least cheaper fuel prices, why it is that the country South Australians and probably people in rural areas right the way across the country are penalised because we choose to live in the country. Now, on 963 Triple M, I'd love to hear from you. 132710 is the number to call. You can jump online to the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page as well. This morning, it's time for us to say a big good morning to Katja.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local news headlines, a 29-year-old will face Millicent Magistrates Court after allegedly doing burnouts. Limestone Coast Police are calling for locals to report all potential scams. Limestone Coast supermarkets will soon be sporting country of origin labelling on their produce. And Heather Morris has postponed her sold-out event at the Mount Gambier Library. All of that in sport coming up soon.
Karch is going to keep us up to date with all the things that we need to know. Speaking of scams and the South Australian Police, we're going to catch up with Andy Stott from SAPOL in probably the next half hour or so. Have a chat about what is going on.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Richard Sage is in the news, speaking amalgamation. When it comes to other things that are making news this morning, the Mount Gambier Prison security manager is warning people that trying to smuggle drugs into the prison will be intercepted by the facility's high-tech security systems. This is a story that's dominating the front page of the Border Watch today. Also dominating the front page of the paper, some great news for up in Narracourt. Tees Brothers have got some great news. $30 million infrastructure boost to the Narracourt factory, which is just sensational. These are the stories and lots of others that you'll find out more about across the day today. When it comes to national news, we're going to catch up with Hannah Rose Hamer and the team soon. Find out what is, all the things that you need to know across the Limestone Coast and further afield. And I would love to hear from you because the greatest decade of all time, we are doing battle rounds to find out what the greatest decade is. You guys have been jumping online to share your memories. And one of the really cool things that I was watching yesterday was talk about movies and the first movie that you ever watched in a cinema. And, so many people have jumped online to share their memories. Lynn, Carmel, Georgina, Peter, Tracy, Sasha, I'll go through some of the movies later on this morning because it really is a trip down memory lane and absolutely fantastic. I'd love to hear from you across the morning this morning if you'd like to jump online to the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page and have your say there.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
Now on 963 Triple M, yesterday, if you missed it, Guy was back. Battle rounds were on the greatest decade of all time. That is what we are trying to find at the moment. And there's a really cool ghetto blaster that could be yours. You can find out all the details online at triplem.com.au. Who remembers the ghetto blasters and always wanting one? Of course, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up during the 80s. And there were some amazingly cool ghetto blasters. And I wanted one during the course of the late 80s. Never got one. And of course, then everything changed. But the 60s. The 60s were the decade when popular music as we know it began. And the 60s were the winners yesterday. From the adolescent rush of Beatlemania through to the sleek pop of Motown, the dreamy sound of Psychedelica, and of course the hard rock of Hendrix and Zeppelin. Music evolved at breathtaking speed throughout the decade. And if you are a fan of the 60s, let me tell you, jump online, triplem.com.au. We have an incredible selection of the 60s finest tracks to search through and to relive the decade that was absolutely incredible. You can have your say. It is really, really simple. You can jump online, triplem.com.au. As I said, the Ghetto Blaster, it could well be yours. Make sure you stop on by the club. And this afternoon, remember, the greatest decade of all time. Well, the battle rounds, they continue right here on your local 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
Tough, isn't that? Because, like, you got the grunge in the 90s, you got all the power ballads of the 80s, but the 70s were just so rock and roll. Led Zeppelin's got to be one of my favourites. Then you've got Fleetwood Mac, you've got Stevie Wright, Pink Floyd, all of those. Yeah, look, I'm going to go for the 70s. Big fan of the 70s with all that kind of music. Yeah, anything but the noughties. The noughties are terrible music.
The noughties are definitely terrible music. The 70s are fantastic, but the 60s, they won out yesterday in the battle rounds, and you can check out some really cool music from the 60s online at triplem.com.au. You can also join the conversation, because yesterday afternoon, we put up a post on the Triple M Lumstone Coast Facebook page that asked what your favourite movie to watch at the cinema was, or the first movie that you watched at the cinema, and let me tell you, there were some classics in there. E.T. was an absolute standout. Things like Xanadu. There was Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Saturday Night Fever. Bambi, of course, was up there as well. Fantasia. There are so many amazing movies and so many absolutely fantastic memories. Just reading through the list of movies that were the first that people had watched got me thinking about all the movies that I've been able to check out at the cinema, or kicking back with mates at home. Just reliving, I suppose, the last couple of decades of cinema. Now, on 963 Triple M, there was some really cool things being talked about this morning when it comes to sport in the Limestone Coast and further afield. Jeff Tyler and Luke from The Night Shift were talking all about the big freeze at the MCG on Monday, and, of course, the upcoming World Cup Challenge. Socceroos are in it. Here is what the boys had to say.
Another injury at the MCG on Monday during the big freeze, but this time it was to a coach. Brisbane's Chris Fagan will have surgery after rupturing a hamstring during the big freeze after a slip and a trip after going down the icy cold slide. You probably saw this on TV, but he's kept his sense of humour intact.
One leg slipped and the other leg went up in the air, and somewhere or other I've done some damage to my hamstring on the left side. But, you know, to be honest with you, it was a deliberate stunt just to get an extra day's publicity for MND, the big freeze. Well, that's what I'm saying anyway.
Yeah, why not? Originally, it was thought that the hamstring was ripped from the bone. It's a terrible injury. So he'll be hobbling around on crutches for a while. And finally, mate, the Socceroos are a day closer to facing off with France in their opening game of the World Cup. Everyone wants to know who Bert von Marwijk will name in his starting 11. Mile Jednak has been coming off the bench in the last couple of friendlies, nursing a couple of injuries, but hopefully he gets up and he can play in Saturday night's game.
He's an idol for all of us, and you know, we really look up to him, and he brings a lot to the team. But saying that, even when he's not on the pitch, he does exactly the same things in the change room, off the park.
That was Matthew Leckie there. So I think he's an important component to that team, just like Timmy Cahill, the X factor, whereas Mile has the... I get, you know, he's 33, he's a veteran, this is his third World Cup, he's a real mentor to the rest of the team. We play France Friday night, who are ranked 7th, and then we've got Denmark the following Thursday, who are 12th, then we've got Peru, who are 11th, and we're back down at 36th.
But so at least we're there. Where's Italy?
Look where the... Exactly.
Where's Italy? Well,
Come on.
We're gonna finish better in this World Cup than Italy. That's all we need to know.
On 963 Triple M, one of the other things that you really want to know, France's coach has suggested the Socceroos have become a more dangerous World Cup threat since adopting Bert van Marwijk's well-organised philosophy. It'll be interesting to see what happens on the weekend. And our resident soccer expert, Frank, is going to join us later on this week to talk on not only the World Cup, but how he thinks the Aussies are going to fare this weekend as we start our World Cup campaign.
The Limestone Coasts 963 Triple M.
It is the Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. We get to catch up with the local police in the Limestone Coast. The man who we talk to on a regular basis is Sergeant Andy Stott from SAPOL. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Ewan.
Hey, Andy, number one, there's been a hoon in the Limestone Coast. What happened?
Yeah, we had someone silly doing wheelies and misusing their vehicle in the Millicent area, and as a result of that inability to drive properly, he crashed it, and of course he got found by police virtually straight away. So a 29-year-old Millicent male was reported for misusing his motor vehicle. He's had his vehicle seized or impounded for 28 days, and he'll be facing the magistrate at some stage in the near future.
Mm. Hey, Andy, one of the other things that has come up or cropped up is the fact that there's been some fraud that's taken place via a computer. There are a lot of scams around at the moment, and people need to be vigilant.
Absolutely, and we keep trying to get the information out there, and every time we find a new one, we try to let our community know. And this is another one that the person was of the belief that it was legitimate, but it obviously wasn't. And the offenders perpetuated themselves as representatives of NBN, the telco company, and they allowed or requested, and the victim allowed access to the computer as a result of some manipulation of the person's computer remotely. They were able to access their banking and got $11,000 out of their bank account.
Oh, wow.
Pretty concerning, and obviously just goes to show you just never know. So if you don't know who you're dealing with, definitely don't allow them access to your computer.
Mm.
And again, don't fall foul of those stories about, you know, paying things in iTunes cards or any of those things. So there's a whole lot of different sorts of scams, and it's essentially the offender preying on the generosity or the gullibleness of the offenders and of the victims, sorry, and we just need to be really mindful about all this. And if something doesn't appear to be quite right, it's probably not. So trust your gut.
Hey, Andy, SAPOL's got a really cool website called ScamWatch as well that that people can find out about some of the scams that are going around.
Absolutely. Just jump onto the police website and find the link, and away you go.
Now, there's been some drug drivers caught over the weekend as well. It was a long weekend, of course.
Three drug drivers, Narracourt, Mount Gambier, and over towards the coast from Mount Gambier here. And obviously, we are very active in relation to all this, and we'll try and keep on top of it. The community needs to be reminded that drug driving is as bad as drink driving, if not worse. And obviously, whilst under the influence, these people are putting other motorists at risk, and in one instance where the offender had disobeyed a stop sign, so that could well have turned nasty.
Mm.
And these are the reasons we're so active in this area.
Absolutely. Hey, Andy, always great to check in and find out what's been going on with SAPOL. We will catch up again soon and talk again.
My pleasure, Ewan. Look forward to that.
Sergeant Andy Stott from SAPOL this morning talking to us. One of the things we didn't talk about, but I did raise an eyebrow about, a man was caught 65 k's over the speed limit near Bordertown. A West Australian man was detected travelling 65 k's over the speed limit on the Dukes Highway. It all took place on Friday.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
It's great to have your company this morning. It's a short week in the Limestone Coast. We've got some sport to talk about later on this morning. We're going to talk all about shopping locally in the Limestone Coast after 8. And one of the other things that I'm going to do, I'm going to get a mate of mine on who was lucky enough to be named in the 40 under 40. We'll talk all about that after 8. This morning, we also want to talk all about the Mount Gambier Roundhouse. And probably about 4 weeks ago, I started to see some posts on social media about the Roundhouse, which a lot of you will know about because if you have walked along the rail trail at all, you walk past this incredible building that up until very, very recently was used on a regular basis. Now, the Roundhouse has been scheduled for demolition. And as a result, Give Mount Gambier's Roundhouse a Future, the Facebook page, has started up. A guy who is part of that is Nathan, and he joins me on the line. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning.
Nathan, first of all, do we know why the Roundhouse has been scheduled for demolition?
Well, back in about 2014, there was a fire lit in one of the last remaining carriages, which did a bit of structural damage to just one of the bays in the roundhouse. And I thought, well, they're either going to try and do something to save the building, or in under 4 months, they'll probably try and make it go away. And, well, we've been sort of, we waited here 4 or 5 months and thought, well, we start try doing something, but then all of a sudden they've sprung it on us only a month ago that they're going to knock it down after all this time.
Now, Nathan, this is a travesty because the Roundhouse has so much history, not only locally but for the entire state.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There's actually been another Roundhouse which was in Taylor Bend knocked down purely because Mount Gambier still had one.
which just is bizarre to me. What makes the roundhouse historically significant?
Well, it's now one of only three left in South Australia where you've still got the roundhouse and turntable together. And also it's quite significant to Mount Gambier. With a lot of the other rail heritage gone now, it's still quite a significant piece to try and hang on to, and quite a significant large piece of history to try and hang on to for the whole town, with a lot of other heritage structures knocked down.
Now, Nathan, some questions for you, because I honestly don't know the answer to them. We used to have a heritage railway up until very recently that was running, of course. Now that the Raillands precinct has come about, that no longer happens. What happened to the vehicles that were used in the heritage railway, and is there a chance that we can, you know, obtain some old locomotives and restore the roundhouse and make it a tourist attraction?
Well, the Limestone Coast Railway that operated out of there, they got hit pretty hard in 2007 with increases in insurance costs.
Mm.
And that sort of made it too difficult for them to operate anymore. And the Red Hen rail carriages that they had at the time, they ended up shifting off to other heritage railway places.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still quite possible that for us to obtain either the original Red Hens or other locomotives and carriages that could be used as part of a heritage centre there, and to also try and preserve the old trades in restoring and preserving such items.
So, Nathan, we're at a situation where the roundhouse could be torn down, I suppose, at any moment. Where are we at the moment, and how can people in the Limestone Coast lend their voice to yours to hopefully save this iconic building?
Well, currently we're really uncertain where we sit. It's been quite hard getting any word out of the Department of Planning, Transport and Infrastructure. And I guess the best way is to try and have as many people get on and try and contact the department and try and get on to the minister and get an answer, and to also publicly show their support on our social media platform, or to get involved with any open days we try and hold there to try and get people down to talk over their ideas and to show their support.
When's the next open day going to take place?
Possibly at this rate, it might be this coming up next weekend, but it's just been quite hard to plan when we're still not sure how quick we need to be moving with the, well, we just have no idea of the exact demolition date just yet.
Nathan, make sure you reach out to me and let me know when the open day is, because I'd love to publicise it. What has been the response from the likes of the Mount Gambier City Council, regional councils, Troy Bell, the member for Parker, Tony Passon as well? Are these people all behind you, or are these people stonewalling and trying to get rid of the roundhouse as well?
It's been very difficult, and I haven't managed to get a direct interview or talk to Tony Passon or Troy Bell. And the only inroads I've made with the local council is I have gone to the heritage subcommittee of the council, and they have got on board and are trying to use a bit of their weight to get some answers out of Diptizer to try and find out for themselves, and to also help inform me and the general public.
Nathan, great to talk to you this morning. I really do hope that that you guys are able to save this iconic building, one of only three left in South Australia. It's a building that would be a huge loss to the Limestone Coast, and one that we would look back fondly on if we do lose it, I'm sure, in the coming decades. Thanks for joining us this morning for a chat on the radio, man.
Yeah, thank you for voicing it.
Oh, 963 MMM. If you'd like to know more, jump online to the Facebook page, because it really is a fantastic page. Ockett LaRue has been taking some photos of the roundhouse, and there's some pretty incredible photos. It's Give Mount Gambier Roundhouse a Future. You can find it online. Make sure you like it. Make sure you lend your voice to hopefully save this iconic building here in the Blue Lake City.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
963 Triple M. Make sure you've got June the 23rd in your diary. It is going to be an absolutely sensational night as Triple M rocks Jen's Hotel. I'm going to tell you more about it soon, but it's time for us to talk sport.
Triple M rocks Limestone Coast local sport, thanks to Harvey Norman Mount Gambier.
Now talking local sport around the Limestone Coast, Milo joins me in the studio. Good morning, mate.
Morning, Yui. Good morning, fellow coast. And it's all about the netty. And, of course, it was the South Australian Country Championships in Adelaide. And well done to the Middersea girls in the A-grade. 22-year drought. They broke it. And the coach was Leah Ruzzi. And Middersea 29 went all the way to Adelaide to defeat KNT just up the track. 26. So well done to everyone concerned there. And we'll give that team a mention because that's a great result. Jesse Crozier from Klangadu, and also from Klangadu, Shawnee Cunningham, Abby Duncan, Chloe Pratt, Narelle Ryan, who'd have to perhaps be giving a nudge to the record of times played in that competition. Someone will tell me. Kylie Schultz, also from Klangadu. Now, Sarah Faulkner and Maddie Redmond from Hatherley, Ebony McDermott from Glencoe, and Megan Hine from Port Mac, and, of course, the coach, Leah Ruzzi. And I reckon Leah from Klangadu might have been involved in that team 22 years ago. Now, special congratulations as an extra Carnival Top 10 selections from that team, Abby Duncan, Maddie Redmond and Ebony McDermott. Won't forget the Western Border girls because the 13 and unders, coached by Sarah Locke, they won the grand final, defeating River Murray in a big way, 23-8. And 17 and unders who head off this Sunday to compete in the Victorian Association Championships. So good luck there. Coach Sharon Adams, and they defeated Middersea 26-20. And, of course, Middersea coached by our Middersea netball commentator, Kirsty Johnson. And well done to everyone concerned there. And, of course, Western Border did not compete in the seniors. Now, Yui, on Sunday, still talking the girls, the Veolia Limestone Coast Women's Football League, they've selected an interleague squad of 45. They'll have a trial on the weekend, and that'll allow them to select their final team to head to Renmark on the weekend of the 7th and 8th of July. And the boys will be there as well. So all those details on Facebook. Now, stay tuned. We'll catch up with Beth Searle talking Southeast Coast basketball, and also Frank Wilcox, Zocker. And he's getting excited, Yui, because the world game, Voodaball, is on the horizon.
It is indeed. There is only a couple of days to go until it all gets underway, and we'll talk to him during the course of the Brekkie Show in the lead up to this weekend's game. I think the first game is up against France, isn't it?
Hubba hubba. I'm excited.
Triple M rocks Limestone Coast local sport, thanks to Harvey Norman Mount Gambier.
Morning again, listeners. Milo, Triple M, keeping sport alive in the Limestone Coast Southeast. Regular commentator for basketball. Good morning, Beth Searle.
Good morning, Milo. Good morning, listeners, and I hope we're all keeping warm.
Yeah, we should know by now, living in this neck of the woods. Now, everyone should be refreshed because they had last Wednesday night off, the seniors and the juniors that run around in the big time. Now, looking at the men, round six and some interesting games. First up, Bulldogs Blue and Ruse.
Yes, well, this is a case of the league leaders and Bulldogs Blue playing third place Ruse. And probably what I'd say would be the feature match of the night, Milo.
If Ruse pull that one off, it'll be go a long way to the double chance. Now, Cats and Panthers will do the business.
Yes, that's 4-5. And if Panthers are going to edge their way into the top four, they need to get over Cats. But that's in Millicent, so that usually gives Cats a bit of an advantage to play on their home court. So that'll be a tough one. And I just perhaps think Cats will get over the line. Josh Murphy's been in terrific form since training with the Pioneers, and he'll probably be the difference.
Now, Cougars and Bulldogs Red will do battle.
Yes, they will, and unless Cougars get more numbers in their lineup, then it's going to be a long night for Cougars at the hands of the Blacks, who have been really starring for Bulldogs Red.
Now we look at the women, and it's Saints and Cougars first up.
Yes, that's right. Top of the table clash, and the women, Cougars in first place versus Saints. I think that, again, home court advantage for Cougars will just get them over the line.
Bulldogs and Cats.
Yes, well, this is 4-5, and Bulldogs are yet to come up with a win. They were disappointed with their performance against Saints in Millicent in the last round, and so they'll be determined to have a better performance this time, and Cats will need to have all guns firing if they're going to overcome Bulldogs.
Now, obviously, there was action at the Ice House on the weekend, and apparently from all reports, a very successful Highland Dancing meet once again.
Yes, it was, and to see the expertise and the standard of the dancers is really, really inspiring for the people who work, and it's great work that's being done in the Limestone Coast region and beyond by the Highland Dancing coaches and instructors.
Beth, as always, thanks for your coverage of South East Coast Basketball League. Good luck to the men and women tonight, and travel safe those that are heading over to Millicent.
Yes, certainly.
Beth Searle, having a chat to Marlo this morning. Marlo's going to be back in the next half hour or so. Still more sport to talk about. Some soccer with Frank from the Limestone Coast point of view. We've got classics galore coming up for you after 8 this morning. And we're going to talk all about online shopping versus helping local businesses here in the Limestone Coast, those bricks and mortar businesses that that we need to support to make sure that local support continues for things like sporting clubs and community groups.
Triple M. Triple M. You and Grant.
Now on 963 Triple M, we caught up with Sergeant Andy Stott earlier this morning talking all about what was going on with SAPOL. One of the things that we didn't talk about, because it's only just been released, is news about a missing man in the Limestone Coast near Millicent. In fact, police are concerned about the welfare of a man that was lost in the Canunda National Park in the southeast. It's believed his car broke down yesterday evening. Now, they went and searched the national park at about 10:15 last night. They called off the search at about 4:30 this morning. Anybody who has seen Michael Reed, 37, or his black four-wheel drive Land Rover Discovery with Victorian registration, are asked to contact 131 444 or to call 000 immediately. Now, all the details are online at triplem.com.au. I've literally just put a post up on the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page as well, and I would love you to like it, to share it, and if you're up around the Millicent area, around the Canunda National Park, if you see the vehicle, please give the coppers a call ASAP.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
Probably a good decade ago now, I was watching a program on Lifeline on the ABC, and there was a lady who was in the wheat belt of WA, and she was a local business owner. She was talking all about the idea that that online shopping was becoming prevalent, and the fact that if local people in her area did not support local businesses, that that a lot of things would unfortunately change. And what she was talking about was the idea that if local businesses don't exist, then local businesses can't employ local people, and local businesses can't help out the local community when it comes to charities and local sporting clubs. And the statement that she made that truly resonated with me at the time was the fact that she reckoned it wasn't until the local footy club or the local netball club actually closed because people weren't getting support from local business, that people would sit back and go, what the bloody hell happened? Now, the reason that I'm talking about that and telling that story is that last week in the pages of the Border Watch, there was a fascinating front page about online shopping and the fact that that as locals in the Limestone Coast, we need to be helping bricks and mortar retailers. Now, a lady who knows an awful lot about retail and retail businesses right the way across the Limestone Coast is Lynette Martin, and she joins me on the line. Lynette, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan.
Lynette, there are a lot of pressures to being a local business person.
There certainly is, Ewan. And that's a very interesting story that you just told, and that is something that I have always preached, if you like, to the local community, and I'm sure they probably get sick of hearing it. But it is very true that if local business is not supported, you know, in turn we won't be able to support the local clubs, charities and sporting groups, because as a business owner we do get asked very often and on a weekly basis, you know, for support for their clubs. And and I really think that all those clubs, if they could think about supporting local business a bit more, it would help everyone. You know, there's no doubt that technology is changing the way we do business, and it is producing challenges. You talked about the Border Watch article, and it highlights that our region you know, is right up there with online shopping. And I'd like to think that people do try locally first before they resort to buying online or indeed out of Mount Gambier. I always think too that if they had a discussion with the business owner, that if it was at all possible for that business owner to procure that item that they wanted, they would do so. So I really would urge people to, you know, go down that path. You know, imagine everyone who spent $100 outside of Mount Gambier spent that money in Mount Gambier.
Imagine the amount of jobs that would be created, number one.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing, because every dollar spent in Mount Gambier has a life cycle, and it in turn benefits everyone in the community in some way or another. And as you said, it provides employment for locals, and it benefits people who own property. They in turn pay council rates, don't they?
Mm.
Those rates provide facilities for our community. And so, you know, you just think about that dollar travelling around the community, and, you know, it has a lot more meaning than people might think on the surface.
Lynette,
so we need to, sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. I was going to say, being the person that you are, the head of the Chamber of Commerce here in Mount Gambier, the fact that you have been a business owner for so many years, what is the outlook for businesses in the Limestone Coast, and how is business going in the region at the moment?
Look, Ewan, I'm always looking on the positive side of things. And I think we need to encourage entrepreneurs to come forward. And I'm sure they're out there. And in fact, I met some last night at the Limestone Coast Venture Dorm graduation, where we saw amazingly talented people promoting their business models. Now, these people are locals. Some of them have already got runs on the board and are selling not only locally but nationally and internationally. So therefore, they are using online to sell their product, but it's coming back to Mount Gambier. So that's what we have to look at. And I just think sometimes there's too much gloom and doom out there, and, you know, we need to search for new opportunities to keep Mount Gambier vibrant. And by working together, we can achieve it.
Absolutely. And if we've got the opportunity, and if we're in the fortunate position to be able to pay that little bit more if we need to, then we should be looking at that and helping out local traders as much as possible. I know for a fact yesterday I was in a local business, and I had been doing a bit of searching online for something that I was looking for. And unfortunately, it worked out that I was paying probably about 50% more for the item. Luckily enough, I'm in a position that I was able to afford it and did so. But there would be people out there that would need to think about each and every dollar as well.
Yeah, and I do understand that, Ewan. And I think these days, though, you know, business people are willing to, you know, have a conversation about a price point. So, you know, I think I would like to encourage the consumer to, certainly have that conversation and shop locally first.
And if nothing else, always think about where that dollar is going and what it's going to do in the local community. We can't stress enough the importance of every dollar spent in the Limestone Coast is going to help our local community, and that's better than helping somebody else's local community.
Absolutely, Ewan. It certainly is.
Lynette, it's been great to talk to you this morning. Hopefully we get the chance to talk again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ewan.
Triple M Rocks, Limestone Coast local sport. Thanks to Harvey Norman, Mount Gambier.
Morning again, listeners. Milo, Triple M, Talking Soccer. Good morning, Frank Wilcox.
Good morning, Milo. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Now, good news on the front for the South East Women's Football Association, because the juniors went to Adelaide and they had a bit of a win.
They did brilliantly. SOFA under 16 are the state champions.
Now, obviously, there's a few people behind this.
Oh, just slightly. You've got to congratulate Hamish Calderwood, the coach, and Sharon Edwards, the manager. And if I can run through the players, Carly Langley, Ellie Seaton, Lauren Frost, Angela McDonough, Alexis Lune, Anna Smith, Adele Wilkinson, Chelsea Frost, Emily Edwards, Indiana Van Deesen, Alex Jolly, Ali Kanala, Darcy Allen, Michaela Thompson, and Lily Izzo. they did brilliantly. They really did Sofa proud.
Yeah, well done to those girls. And a few of those names have been playing in the seniors, and that would really help them going away at the next level in their age group, wouldn't it?
What you've got to remember is the under-16s, Sofa has an under-15s, and over 15 have to play in the seniors. So a lot of these have been playing in the seniors. Also, congratulations to the under-13s. They came in a very respectable third.
So they were competitive, and they'll come away better players for that. And we'll watch with interest the progress of those girls. Now, it's back into club soccer this weekend, and Wanderers take on Inter. Who do you like in that one?
I think Inter will win that one. United versus Portland, that'll be an interesting game. I haven't seen Portland play, so I don't know, but United aren't playing badly. And Apollo City versus Centrals, I think that might be the game of the day.
And Millicent will have a rest up again, so they'll be really fresh when they come back.
Now we must
congratulate the comparable junior side of the Limestone Coast Football Association, because they took a group of teams
they
up.
They did very, very well indeed. We've got state champions in the under-16s and the under-12s. The under-15s and the under-13s were runners-up, and the under-14s finished a very respectable third.
And with the 12s, they take an open team up and a development team. So,
I believe, yes.
Yeah, that's great to do that, and it prepares them for what's ahead, and they all come away with something, and no doubt the parents had a great bonding weekend. Now, looking at the big boys on Sunday, Narracourt will host Inter. Gee, look out, Narracourt.
Yeah, I think Inter will come back after a week off and be a little bit too hard to control.
Home ground advantage be the decider, Blue Lake over Portland?
I think so, yes. That'll be a good game. And obviously the game of the day is Apollo versus Centrals at Webb Street, which will be a very interesting match.
Yeah, double chance during the finals might be up for grabs there. Frank Wilcox, as always, thanks for your coverage. And no doubt you, like all other soccer loves, are getting excited because the World Games about to be on the big stage again.
Oh, wonderful. And the World Cup's coming along. Is a month of awesome soccer.
You got a rough tip this far out? Who do you think will take it out?
I'd like to see the Socceroos get at least into the round of 16, which I think they can do. I think they'll come second in their group.
Okay. We'll watch with interest, and no doubt we'll hear from you talking about that on the airways.
No doubt.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Marla.
On 963 Triple E, we're going to catch up with Frank during the course of the next couple of days and talk a little bit about the World Cup, by the way. Checking lost and fouls this morning, all thanks to Harvey Norman Mangambia. Nothing in our lost file, but in our found file today, a black and white cat has been found in Mangambia. If you've lost or found anything across the Limestone Coast, if you'd like to let us know about it, the number to call is 87-255-155. We're going to be back soon talking all about the 40 Under 40 Awards, celebrating passion, vision and achievement of, SA's finest.
Ewan Grant.
For breakfast. Triple M.
It is indeed. And we're getting close to Ray Hadley joining us across Australia this morning. In the lead up to it, I get to talk all about the 40 Under 40 Awards. They recently took place, and there was a local bloke here in the Limestone Coast who was among South Australia's finest young business people under the age of 40. He joins me on the line. Ben Hood, good morning.
G'day, Ewan. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Now, Ben, you were named in the 40 Under 40. Congratulations!
Thanks, mate. Yeah, it was a real buzz to be named. There was an amazing field of people. People from in the medical field, in the lawyer field. There was a guy there who runs an entertainment podcast who has 5 million subscribers. He broke the news of Johnny Depp starring in the new Fantastic Beasts, the new Harry Potter sort of thing, spin-off. Yeah, just some amazing people. So to be included was, just a real honour for me. And the work that, Simone and I are doing with George Farmer and Holly Friday.
Ben, I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but one of the things that I want to highlight, and I could have got this completely wrong, but there is talk that you were the only regional person who was included in this list.
As far as I can tell, without actually, talking with every single person to find out exactly where they're at, but as far as I can tell, I was the only regional person. Well, I was definitely the person from the furthest away, being down here in Mount Gambier, up there in the big smoke of Adelaide. So it was another great honour for me to be included in it and to rep for the regions and show that what we're doing down here in Mount Gambier is as good as what the guys and girls are doing up in Adelaide.
Ben, you, Simone, Hello Friday, George the Farmer, you guys have had an epic year.
It's been fantastic, actually. We're just loving what we're doing. Simone with her Rural Woman of the Year award, this top 40, we've just been shortlisted for the Telstra Business Awards, waiting to hear back for that to see if we're a finalist.
Oh wow! Congratulations.
It's been fantastic. We're just loving what we're doing with Hollow Friday, with our web development and our design, and especially with George the Farmer. We've been to Queensland this year, New South Wales, Tasmania. We played at the AFL Country Round about a month ago. It's really good fun, actually.
I love the crystal ball idea, and I suppose hindsight's a beautiful thing. But if I'd said to you 12 months ago that these sort of things were going to happen for you guys, would you ever have thought it was possible?
No, when we first started George the Farmer, we essentially built the app so we could showcase what we did within Hollow Friday, and then it's just gone crazy, and through the exposure that we've got from George, we've got to meet just so many wonderful people around Australia, and regional people just like us, who are just really passionate about their towns and their regions and. We just see it all around Australia. There's a real buzz, and people are really positive and really pumped for what can we be doing in the future. So the head spins sometimes. Our mind boggles a little bit with how blessed we've been to be able to do what we love all around Australia.
Ben, got to say, from all of us here at Triple M, congratulations. It really is a huge achievement for you. And hopefully we get the chance to talk more about some really cool stuff that you guys are doing at Hello Friday and with George the Farmer.
Thanks, Ewan. Really appreciate it, mate. Thank you.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
I am almost done for the day. I'm going to go and celebrate my birthday in style under a doona, I think. Guy is back this afternoon after 12, the greatest decade of all time. The battle rants continue after 12 this afternoon, and you can check out all that is happening online at Triple M's Limestone Coast Facebook page. Have a great day. Ray Hadley is coming up in just a moment. Enjoy your day, and I'll catch you for brekkie tomorrow morning from 6 right here on your local.